What's up, LifePoint Church? You guys excited to be here today? Are you excited to be here today? Thank you. That was so much better. Well, I am excited to be here as well. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Matt. I get to serve here at LifePoint, and I'm absolutely honored to bring the Word of God this morning. I do want to take just a minute and welcome our visitors. We like to do that around here. So if you're visiting here, maybe you're checking us out online for the first time, I just want to say welcome home. You are honored, you are cherished, and you are loved in this place. So thank you for being here with us. And if it's not your first time, welcome back. We're glad you're here. So you guys ready to jump into this? Because I've got a lot to cover today. There's an applause. I like that. So I think it's important that we pray first and then get our hearts right, and then we will jump right into this. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us. God, I thank you for each and every person in this room. And Lord, I pray that you just use my words, God, to touch hearts and to touch minds today. God, to speak to us and help us see what you would have us see and learn what you would have us learn. Lord, we love you, God, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so for the past few weeks, we've been in this amazing series called Fresh Start. Excuse me. And we're looking at some kind of foundational things, and I get to close it this week, which is really cool, so I'm excited about that. So we've been taking a fresh look at some of the guiding principles from the early days of LifePoint. And can I just say that this year we celebrate 10 years? That's pretty cool, right? Yeah, that's pretty cool. We are 10 years old as a church, and so we've literally taken some of the foundation from 10 years ago, and we're looking at that again, and I'm absolutely loving this series. I'm a firm believer of getting back to basics from time to time. I don't know about you, but I get caught up in like life and the next thing I got to do, and I got to do this and that and this and that, and sometimes I lose sight of the original, like the origins of the foundation of why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so that's what this series is all about. I've actually taught this back to basics principle quite a few times to a lot of people in my past lives, and it was pretty good. So I'm excited to share my thoughts with you. Another reason I'm actually excited about this series is what we're talking about, and what we're talking about is discipleship. And I believe wholeheartedly that discipleship is the one thing that each of us is called to. The last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before he went to heaven was this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you until the end of the age." He tells us to go make disciples everywhere. Everywhere. So that is from the people in your home to the ends of the earth, and everywhere in between. Everywhere. So how do we do that? Well, making disciples, as Christ commanded us, is truly love in action. The how of discipleship boils down to two things, really. It happens through the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives and our willful submission to God with our lives. Now listen, I'm a big fan of being practical. So today, we're actually going to look at the directions that we've been talking about in Fresh Start and get some real practical direction on those. We'll see that all of these directions are actually interconnected and related to each other, and we're going to get some direction on how we can make sure that our lives are, in fact, pointing to Jesus. As Kelly taught us last week, disciples follow directions. So let's look at the different directions now. Everyone should have gotten one of these cards. Yep. So you can go ahead and break those out now. If you're a note taker, we'll fill in some of those blanks here in just a little bit. The first thing that we should consider with anything in life is our relationship with Christ. And so that's our very first direction, and that's upward. Our lives should point upward. That is upward to God, upward to heaven. When people look at our lives, we want them to see the love of Jesus above all. Now listen, I know that we all have hurts, we all have habits, we all have hang-ups. We all deal with that stuff in our lives. But above all of that, people should see Jesus above all of that. So our goal for this direction is that everyone gives their whole heart to God. So what does that look like? Well, if we go back in Matthew a little bit from where we just were to Matthew 22, we see something that we call the Great Command. And it goes like this. Someone asks Jesus, "Teacher, what is the greatest command in the law?" And Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, we know the guy that asked the original question was trying to trap Jesus into picking one of the commandments over all of the others, but Jesus, being Jesus, answered perfectly. He says, love God with every fiber of your being. Give God all of you, all of your emotional life, all of your spiritual life, all of your mental life. Give everything you are to God, and once you've done that, love other people as much as you love yourself. And then he says, all the law and all the prophets, that is the entirety of what we call the Old Testament, hangs on these two things. Now, you can't argue with that. Later on, Jesus actually is talking to his disciples when he's about to leave earth and go up to heaven. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming to be with them. And he reminds them, if you love me, keep my commands. He's talking about these commandments. This is actually reminiscent of a passage in Joshua, from Joshua 1, that says, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. He's telling us, as his disciples, to follow his directions, pretty simply. Jesus just said it a little more succinctly before that. If I love him, I should follow his commands. So the question here is, am I obedient to him? One of my favorite worship songs right now is a song called Take Courage by Linda Connett and the Circuit Breakers. And some of the lyrics in that song go like this. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not a singer. But they go like this. There's a yes in our hearts, and it carries through eternity. Simple obedience changes history. And I love this. Simple obedience is powerful. It's a powerful, powerful thing. And simply saying yes to God can literally change the trajectory of your entire life. It did mine. I also love that this is a worship song, because we often think of worship as this 30-minute bit of music at the beginning of a church service on Sunday morning, and that is part of worship, absolutely. But it's more than that, guys. Worship is about magnifying God. Authentic worship makes God bigger than you, and he makes God bigger to you. See, we should worship in every situation in our lives, good or bad. Worship isn't an event, it's a lifestyle. And worship points to God. So worship with every part of you. Worship at home with your family. Worship at work. Worship with your friends. Worship while you're shopping at Walmart. I'm not saying like go around singing all the time, though that would be pretty fun, I think. But what I am saying is say yes to God, because that is our act of worship. Our lives are a living sacrifice to God. And the practical, the tangible part of this direction is our testimony. Now, testimony, if you're new here, that's just a fancy church word for our story, the story of what God is doing in our lives and through our lives. And our stories are built through obedience and through worship. They're tales of our obedience to God, and our stories are powerful. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Revelation 12:11. It says that they triumph over him, and that is the devil. They triumphed over him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. This tells us that we can conquer evil, we can conquer the devil with the blood of Christ, that is, accepting his love and sacrifice for us and becoming his disciples. So we beat the devil with Jesus, and then we beat him with our testimony. That's how God is working within us, within our lives. Our stories are powerful, and no one can argue with your personal story. That is the first step towards discipleship. And it actually leads us into the next step, the next direction that we're going to talk about today, and that is inward. So this direction is really about family. As Christ followers, we're part of God's family. Ephesians teaches us that consequently you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. We're children of God. We are his heirs. We are his family. Family's huge, guys. Listen, I don't know about you, but I see my family every day. My wife and I, we are a team. Actually, one of my favorite things to say in my household is, teamwork makes the dream work. And my daughter, Krista, rolls her eyes every time I say it. But I say it because it's true. We get so much more done together than we do apart. Our lives are more fulfilling together. And Quite frankly, I cannot imagine a world without my wife Naomi and my daughter Krista in it. I think it's safe to say that we do life together. See, when all else fails, your family is there for you. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's what God wants for us as part of His family, to do life together, because let's face it, life is better together. In fact, we were made to do life together from the very beginning of time. If you remember back in Genesis, God made the universe and the heavens and the stars and the planet and the plants and the animals and Adam, and He said that it was all good. But then He said that it is not good for man to be alone. And that's when He made Eve. See, God's intent for us from the very beginning was to do life together, first with Him, then with our family, and then with our church family. I think that's why Hebrews reminds us or tells us to let us consider how to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. We're actually directed right here to do life together, encouraging each other, helping each other, loving each other. So with that, the goal for Inward is that everyone does life together. And not just here on Sundays. Like, this is great. Our church services are amazing. We put a lot of work into them. I often say that they're totally BA, bodaciously awesome, that stands for. But listen, guys, there's six other days in the week. Our Sunday services are where we gather, like, as big church, right? We learn a lot. We get inspiration. We get vision. But our groups, that's where we figure out how to work these messages out in our daily lives. It's where we connect deeply with other people. It's where we build meaningful relationships and grow deeper in our faith. My own personal relationship with Jesus deepened immensely when I discovered groups. I was able to voice my struggles. I was able to ask questions, get different perspectives, and I still do that today. In fact, I'm going to do that this afternoon. This may be why I love Proverbs 27:17 so much. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. So I can't tell you how important groups are in my life. I've made some amazing connections. I actually met my wife in a group. But listen, you don't have to take my word for it. There are people in this room right now who are parts of groups, and they will tell you that that is a huge part of their story, is being rooted in a group and walking out their faith with other people. And as a matter of fact, if you're in this room and you're in a group and you find unique fulfillment in that group, say, I love my group. Say that with some enthusiasm.
I love my group.
Nice. Now, if you did say I love my group because you're not in a group, you can talk to any one of those people that just yelled in church and ask them about their group. There are some amazing stories there. And if you did say I love my group, this next part will be easy for you, because the question here is, who am I connected to? And you can go ahead and write that down on your paper. Who am I connected to? What group are you in? Now, if you're not connected to a group, I can actually help you with that. You are connected to a group. What does he mean? Well, we all group in some way. Now listen, it may be a group of friends that likes to go hiking, maybe the poker game down at your neighbor's house. It could be some girls and guys who like to get together and read books together. It could be the guys down at the bar, but we all group. The question here is your group sharpening you, or is it making you dull? See, friends sharpen each other. They challenge each other. They hold each other accountable. And those are the groups that I'm talking about. Now, here at LifePoint, we have life groups, and they meet every week, and they do just that. We get together at someone's house. We talk about the sermon. We talk about what that looks like in our lives. We pray for each other. We carry each other's burdens. We help each other. We celebrate each other's victories. We also eat some pretty awesome food. That's a plus. Yeah, I got one woo out of that. But listen, there's other kinds of groups here. We've got prayer groups, connect groups, CR groups that meet regularly for the same purpose. There are plenty of choices. You remember when Jesus said, love God and love others, that verse we talked about a little while ago? Well, this is part of that. Now, I know that going to someone's house can sort of be uncomfortable. Maybe if you don't know that person very well, that's okay. I get it. Listen, you know me. Come to my group. We'd love to have you. There you go. This whole thing is about getting outside of your comfort zone, guys. It's about getting outside of your comfort zone, because the only way that anything will ever grow is to push forward. and lack of growth equals death. William Burroughs hit the nail on the head when he said, when you stop growing, you start dying. And the best and deepest and most difficult growth for us is relational growth. It's hard. I get it. But the best place to do that is in a group of people that value you and care for you and love you. And that's what groups are all about. In God's family, we grow together. That means that someone needs you. Don't deprive others of you, and don't deprive yourself of others. Now, the next step we're going to look at actually is directly related to this one. It's outward. It's also about family, but this one's actually more focused on how we serve our family. Remember that we are God's children. We're part of his household. John 2:17 actually reminds me, and the disciples reminded them of this, passion for God's house will consume me. See, this direction is actually probably the easiest direction to get involved with because we always need more people to serve. And when you serve someone, you feel good. You feel better than you did before when you help someone. And that's because you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. He was the most other-minded man to ever live. He truly took on the role of a servant. Mark 10 actually tells us, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many," which is arguably the most crazy form of service ever. See, other than groups, guys, service changed my life more than just about anything. When I jumped into service, I was able to connect with people in a very unique way. Following in Christ's footsteps is truly freeing. And looking at his disciples as inspiration, they served more freely than anyone else had before them in history. In fact, the power of the Christian movement can be tied directly to service, from people during the Black Plague that would take care of the sick when no one else would, to missionaries throughout time helping the less fortunate, to organizations like the Salvation Army around the world or the Free Store right here at home. Being generous with our time and money and helping others is a hallmark of the Christian faith, and all of this service is rooted in love. And that's why we say love first. See, the easiest and best way to love first is to simply serve. So our goal here for Outward is that everyone loves someone through service. And the beauty of this is that you don't have to do it alone. You get to serve with others. We serve others with others. We actually encourage it. Every opportunity that we have to serve here at LifePoint is you'll be on a team of people. We call them a dream team. So if you want to be part of the dream team, come talk to me after service. We want to get you connected. You don't have to serve here. I get it, but I do encourage it. Because this, Sunday morning, amazing worship, hosts, greeting, all of the pieces, does not happen with like genie magic and fairy dust. It'd be nice if it did, but it doesn't. It certainly doesn't happen through the lone efforts of the handful of people on staff. Now, they're very capable, but they need us. They need you to serve. And guys, this is just Sunday. Like, what about Wednesday? CR, Fuel Youth, Kids Life, any of the, they're over there, any of the special events we have? Like, the list goes on and on. So the question for this direction is, where do I serve? And write it down. What team are you on? And if you're not connected with a team, like I said, let's talk. First Peter tells us to offer hospitality to anyone without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things we may be praised, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. See, saying all the glory goes to God. Serve with God's strength. Speak with God's words, and all with the gifts that he provides. Now, I struggled with service for a while initially. I didn't know where to serve or how to serve. And finally, I jumped in kind of by myself. I kind of started greeting people. I would wave at people or help them find a seat, like that kind of thing, just wherever I saw a need. But I didn't know how to. And some of you may be wondering what these gifts Peter is talking about. Well, one of the best ways to get plugged in and get started serving is actually through something we call Growth Track. I know we heard about it in the welcome today. Our first step of Growth Track is next week, and it goes for 4 weeks, and you can actually sign up right outside at the point. And when you attend Growth Track, you will learn about LifePoint, kind of what we are, like what we stand for. You'll also learn about those spiritual gifts we were just talking about, what your specific gifts are, and then how to use those, what team would be a good fit for you. So get signed up for that after service. Now listen, I mentioned it's not limited to just services here. Like, there's lots of opportunities to serve in our community. I mentioned the Salvation Army and the Free Store. Those are just a couple of places. And let's face it, guys, we live in a fallen, broken world, and people need the love of Jesus. Often we're actually the only Jesus that those people see. We are his hands and feet, and what that means is that we are the tangible body of Christ on this planet. It's our calling to share his love with others. There's a passage in Matthew 25 that goes like this. Jesus says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whenever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." See, apart from the Holy Spirit, you are the greatest asset God has to share the love of Jesus. So if you aren't serving, get serving. If you don't know where to serve, ask. If you don't know how to serve, we will teach you. God isn't looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people. There isn't a good reason that I can think of why we aren't serving. So while we're pointing upwards with our obedience, we're pointing inwards with our relationships, we're pointing outward with our services, we also have to continue our spiritual growth towards spiritual maturity with spiritual disciplines. We can't neglect our growing relationship with Jesus. And this is our next direction, which is downward. Now, this one is really important to me personally. My early salvation experience was not great. I was a young Christian in high school. I longed for these disciplines. I was actually saved when I was 14 and baptized. And then that was kind of it. Like, that was now that was great. That was a great experience. That wasn't disappointing. But the rest of it was disappointing because I felt like I got saved and baptized, and then they just sort of slapped me on the butt and said, "Good luck." I had a lot of questions. I asked a lot of questions, and it seemed like the answer I got was read your Bible and pray. Unfortunately, I didn't know how to do those things because I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't know any of those things. It felt weird to talk to this God that I knew so little about. And the Bible was great right up until Leviticus. And what that means is I started at the beginning because that's where I started every other book in my life and started reading. But let's face it, Leviticus is rough. And Numbers is worse. So I stopped. I stopped praying, guys. I stopped reading. I stopped going to church. And I stopped growing. Now look, I know that God has me where he wants me right now. I get it. But I often wonder where I would be if I kept following Jesus at that early age. And that's why I'm so concerned with these disciplines. And that's why our goal for this is that everyone grows through spiritual discipline. This is rooted in the early church. We see in Acts 2 that what the early believers did, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This isn't meant to be a cursory thing that we just do from time to time. The early believers devoted themselves with everything they had. It's like anything else in life, guys. You get out of it what you put into it. And consistency is key. Like any habit, good or bad, if you're consistent, it will stick. If you want to get in good physical shape, you have to build healthy habits, right? You have to eat better. You have to work out. You have to stay active. The same thing applies here. Rick Ward actually said, "Character is shaped by the habits we develop." So how do we do this thing? Well, there isn't a magic pill, unfortunately. It's not like the blue pill keeps you ignorant and the red pill gives you knowledge. And the disciplines are actually things that we know about. We just don't do them. A couple of weeks ago, Kelly talked about this directly. He talked about disciplines like fasting and fellowship and sharing and celebration. And the question here is, what discipline am I focusing on? So today I just want to touch on two very practically. There are a lot more that we can talk about later. The two I want to touch on today are prayer and the Word. And the reason I want to touch on these is because these are directly related to my story, and they're truly foundational disciplines that help us get directly in touch with God. Prayer is how we speak to God. We also hear from Him. I think it's one of the most neglected disciplines because a lot of us don't know how to pray. If we read in Matthew 6, someone asked Jesus, "How do you pray?" And He answered, "Pray like this." And then He gives us the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, who art in heaven." We know that one? Okay. So we can actually take some key aspects from that, because I want to listen to what Jesus has to say, and we can take them and put them in our prayers to keep them fresh and vibrant and relative. This is something that I learned years ago, and I still use it today. And number one is praise. Praise God. Thank Him for the things that He's doing in your life. Take some time to reflect on what you've done today. What has God done today? What situations have you been in? And thank Him for those things. The next one is repent. It goes right along with this. During that time of reflection, think about the things that you've done today. Maybe you hurt somebody. Maybe you did something wrong. Ask God for forgiveness of those. Say you're sorry. It's very simple. The next thing is ask. Ask Him for the things that you need and that you want. A lot of people are like, "Oh, you shouldn't ask God for things." Yes. Yes, you should. He tells us to. So ask Him for those things that you need and that you want. But after that, ask that His will be done in your life. This is your will. Ask that His will be done in every situation, regardless of what the outcome is. And the last thing is show me. Ask God to show you what your next step should be, that next person you should talk to, that next place that you should go to better follow Christ. These are just a few simple steps to get started getting in touch with God. We also have these prayer books. They're prayer journals right here, and these are really awesome. You can just grab one of these for free. They talk about kind of like the biblical history of prayer, foundations of prayer, how to pray. There's some places back here where you can actually pray for specific people. So you can grab one of those out in the lobby. That is a great resource that we have that's free. So grab one today. The second discipline I want to talk about real quick is the Word. And there are a couple of aspects to this that are really important to me, I think, and to everybody else if you put them in practice. Reading, that makes sense, but also writing. Writing is a big part of this. So when I first learned to really dig into the Bible, and this was about 10 years ago, I still do this today, but this is how I started. I started reading a proverb a day. There's 31 of them, so you can actually pick the date. Today's the 23rd. Just read Proverbs 23. After church, go read Proverbs 23. And then write down any thoughts that you have about any of the verses that jumped out to you. It's really just that simple. Good or bad, write it down. And then I started 10 years ago, and I still do this. I go back and just read through the Gospels. But start in Matthew and just read until something jumps out at you, right? Until something catches your attention. Maybe it brings up a question that you've been struggling with. And write down that section, those verses. And then write down your thoughts about that passage. Whatever it may be. Now, the cool thing about this, when I did it, and it should work for you as well, is it got me to do some research on my own. So I actually started digging into other resources. I started asking questions of people like my pastors who know a lot about God's Word, and it really deepened my relationship. We've got these out at, I'm just like marketing everything up here. We've got these really amazing journals that you can get at the Point, so you can actually just keep this. Look, it like fits with Bibles. It's really a nice size to carry around, and you can actually use this to write down some of those thoughts and passages, and then you have it as a reference to go back and look at later. You can actually pick those up at the Point as well. Everybody have a smartphone? You can download the Bible app. If you haven't done that for some reason, go ahead and do that. Not only are there amazing translations and interpretations there, but you can actually read through preset Bible plans, and you can do it with your friends, which is really cool. You can get together and talk about it, or you can actually just leave notes for each other right there in the app. It's really amazing. I'm starting a 12-day plan called Discipleship, The Road Less Traveled, and I'm really looking forward to what me and my friends have to say about that. So it's important to get into God's Word, but get into it with a plan. Get into it with intention, and do it with a friend. Now listen, these are just a couple of ways of the disciplines that we can focus on to deepen our relationship with Jesus and root us in God's heart and in His will. But all of these directions that we're talking about today are really have one thing in common and one purpose. And that purpose is to help us bring glory to God and love as many people to Jesus as we can before we die, period. That's the purpose of LifePoint Church. And really, it should be our purpose as Christians. As we grow and mature as Christ followers, we begin to walk in the footsteps of the original disciples. We begin to love unconditionally. We begin to get out of our comfort zone. We begin to grow in new and exciting ways. And we begin to see the world changing around us. And that is why the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before he went home to heaven was, "Therefore go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now you remember we looked at this at the beginning of this message, and I think it's appropriate that we look at it again here because the last direction that we want to look at today is forward. We are directed to make disciples of everyone we can, all nations, he says. But all nations happens one person at a time. And that's why our goal for our forward direction is that everyone reaches one for Jesus. Now, if I try to reach the whole world myself, I'm quitting before I even start. It's a daunting task, right? But one is doable. And we should all know at least one person in our life that needs Jesus. Now, you may not think so right now, but just think about it for a second. Like, do we have a friend that's lost? Maybe we have a coworker that doesn't go to church. They don't have a church home. Maybe we have a family member that needs God in our lives. If you think about it for just a moment, you will come up with someone who needs Christ in their lives. And I want you to write that person's name down. So how do we reach this one person? Well, I personally think the best place to start is prayer. And we just talked about that, right? We can make that person part of our daily prayers when you're asking God for what you need and what you want. Go ahead and ask him to provide an opportunity for you to share your faith with that person. Ask him to work in their hearts and in their lives. You could even tell that person that you're praying for them. Well, that's a little scary. Prayer is powerful, though, guys, and the power of prayer is real. So when God does provide an opportunity for you to share your story and faith with that person, you can ask him if you can pray for him right then and there, right? That's a little uncomfortable, but it's real. Amen. And let me tell you, we are meant to be uncomfortable for God. He calls us to get out of our comfort zone. Listen, you don't have to have all the deep, like, theological answers to every question everybody's ever had about God and the Bible. That's not what we're looking for here. All you have to do is share your story. Share your story of how God has worked and changed your life. You could even fill out a prayer card there in the pews. You could ask for courage and boldness. And what's cool on Wednesday nights, we'll pray over those. You could invite them to church. We have these invite cards. You can pick those up right out there in the lobby. Those are pretty cool. I like those a lot. Did you know that 82% of people that don't go to church say that they would go to church if someone would invite them? 82% of people that don't go to church say they would go to church if someone would simply invite them. So when God provides this opportunity for you to share your faith with this person that you're praying about, end the conversation with an invitation. It's just that simple. But you have to commit to it. We become the things that we are committed to, guys. And spiritual growth is impossible without commitment. Actually, this holds true for every foundational direction we've talked about today. Commitment is key. We grow upward as everyone gives their whole heart to God. We grow inward as everyone does life together. We grow outward as everyone loves someone through service. We grow downward as everyone grows through spiritual discipline. And we grow forward as everyone reaches one for Jesus. And all of this helps our lives point to Jesus. We want our lives to point to Christ by connecting with God, by connecting with others. And all of this is an ongoing process that we're starting right here, right now. We're calling it directional discipleship. To become better disciples and strengthen our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with each others. But like everything else, you get out of it what you put into it, but we get out some really cool stuff. We get heaven forever. We get freedom from our past. We get hope for our future. We get peace for our here and now. And we get ringside seats to life change. Amen. But if you're not putting in and you're not getting out. So get right with God, guys. Get connected with others. Find ways to serve others. Grow your relationship with God. And personally pour into someone else. We need each other and every one of us to be the disciples that Jesus is calling us to be. And to follow his directions. Kelly put together a video. He's out of town today. It's just a couple of minutes just to talk about directional discipleship. So if we've got that video, we could roll that.
So for 10 years, we have been trying to do just one simple thing. That is be the church that God has called us to be, which means we have dove into His Word. We've studied about what He's calling us to as a church, and that also means what He's calling us to as a people. We have strove very, very diligently to be the kind of church that gives glory to God and loves as many people to Jesus as we can before we die, period. That's, again, what we do as a body, but it's also what we do as individual believers. It's very clear. Jesus has called us to go out and make disciples. And as we've studied these directions and lived them out over the past 10 years, God has stirred something up within our congregation. It's something new, it's something that we want you to help us with as we develop something as a church that I believe can benefit many, many generations of Christians. It's something that we're calling directional discipleship. As we take each of these five directions that we've been studying and pursue them individually, we need people that can help us write curriculum, people help us to write questions, people to do the discipling, and people that are willing to be discipled. So if you're new in your faith, or if you are someone who is wanting a new step in faith to take your walk to another level, we want you to help us as we are pursuing together a collaborative approach to developing directional discipleship. We believe this is something that God has put together for us as we pursue an obedience-based discipleship, something that results in lives changed, something that results in many more people seeing who Jesus is more clearly than ever, and exactly also who we're called to be. And so we hope that you'll join us as we pursue directional discipleship, as we try to be the church that God has called us to be, and as we individually be the people that He's called us to be, to live the lives that He's called us and empowered us to live. So what we want you to do is contact us at info@lifepointlebanon.com. That way we can know who's going to help us as we develop this brand new method of discipleship. We believe God's going to use this not only to change lives today, but to set the path for the future.
Thank you so much for joining us today for the LifePoint Podcast. To find out more information or to make a financial contribution, you can visit our website at lifepointlebanon.com or download our mobile app available on all platforms. Stay up to date by following us on social media. You can find links at our website. Welcome home.